Take your Bibles this morning and go with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 2, book of Ruth, the second chapter. Ruth was a Moabitess. She came from the Moabites. She, as a result, her nation was the result of the sin of Lot with his daughters. Sodom and Gomorrah were being destroyed. Lot didn't want to leave. He delayed. The angels grabbed a hold of him and took him out of the city. God destroyed the city, his family. His wife turned to a pillar of salt. As a result, his daughters didn't have any prospect in their mind for the future, so they got their dad drunk and they had an illicit relationship with their father. And they conceived children. Moabites were one of those nations. I'll just say, give you that background, because the Moabites were not started as a God-fearing, God-honoring, Bible-focused people. They were birthed as a result of disobedience, Lot's life pattern of being pulled to the world. And so when Ruth grew up in that, she did not have a knowledge of God and who he was and what he wanted to do in her life. And then a wayward family came to town. They were running from God, Elimelech and Naomi. And they raised their children there, and their children grew up, got married. Ruth was one of those young ladies that married one of those fellows. God killed Elimelech and the two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. And as a result, Ruth is now a young woman and a widow. And even though this family had kept God at a distance, there was enough of a witness there that Ruth came to embrace Jesus Christ, salvation. And so Naomi is going to go back to her people. There's nothing in Moab for her, no future. The girls say, we're going to go back with you, Orpha and Ruth. And Naomi says, I don't have anything to offer you. If I had children, I couldn't give those children to you. By the time they'd be grown, you'd be old woman. They wouldn't want you. You wouldn't want them. So stay here, stay among your people. That's a sad point that we get to in the Christian life when we see no hope. And Naomi could offer Ruth no hope. But I'll tell you, there is hope in Christ. Even after you've messed things up in life, Naomi just couldn't see that anymore. And Ruth said, I will not leave thee. So Ruth has gone back to Bethlehem with Naomi. She's going to make it her life work to take care of her. She's going into the field of Boaz, and that brings us to chapter 2. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her happenstance was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. I'll just say there are no coincidences with God. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless thee. And then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, who, I don't recognize this girl, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it's the Moabitess damsel. Didn't know her name. You think racism is a new thing? It's not a new thing. But they knew her by her people. She's a Moabitess that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. The children of Israel had a Poor people could go to the field and they could glean after the reapers. If they dropped something and have to pay for it, the poor people would come back and if they worked, they could eat. They would leave the corners of the field. You could guarantee you go to the corner of the field. If you're a poor person, you could find something. No work, no eat. And so the poor people would go. And so Ruth is one of those people. She's a Moabite. She's not doing anything illegal. This is absolutely proper. And she's going to the field. She's looking after the gleaners. And so she said, "Let me glean." And they're like, "Man, you don't have to ask. And every poor person does that. Watch them follow us in the field. Let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." And so she came and hath continued even from morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It has been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." Verse 12 is our text verse this morning, from whence we are going to launch. Boaz recognized that she was a believer. She had come to trust Christ. Notice what he says about her in verse 12. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Under whose wings thou art come to trust. And I'll talk to you this morning about the treasure of trust. The treasure of trust. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this morning. You have a lot in your word to say about that concept, that word, trust. And I would, as I look around the room this morning, I believe that the vast majority of the folks that are in this room and those that are online have come to know you as their Savior. They would say with Ruth, "I have come to trust in the Lord." It can be seen by others that they have come to trust in you for salvation. But Father, we need to learn to trust you in every avenue of life. May you help us to do that, to learn to trust. We'll thank you for what you do. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I do some of my best thinking, planning, troubleshooting when I'm driving. I do some of my best praying when I'm driving. Tuesday, I was Monday late, I was traveling through the Warrenton area on my way to meet with a missionary who was greatly discouraged, and had a meeting on Tuesday down in Charlottesville. And as I was driving, I don't typically listen to the radio. I might turn it on for a traffic report every now and again, but not very often. And I might listen to a message from time to time, but not typically while I'm driving. From time to time, though, I will. I am more likely to listen to a scripture passage. But on Monday, as I traveled westward on 29, I did not have a scripture passage playing, rehearsing, listening to scripture. I wasn't doing that. But I was praying. Now, typically when I drive and pray, I don't close my eyes. So if you're going to drive and pray, you should keep your eyes open. And oftentimes when I pray, I sing. One of the blessings of growing up in a Christian home in a church that uses hymns. There's a reason we use these hymns. Every once in a while somebody say, why don't we use some of that newfangled stuff? You only have to learn one phrase and you'll sing it seven times. We call it 7-11 music. Sing one phrase 11 times. Why don't we do that? Why don't we work ourselves into a worship frenzy? Number one, I don't think that's biblical. But number two, you rob yourself of some of the great prayers from the Bible. We're going through those on Wednesday night, are found in the book of Psalms. We're to pray and we're to worship in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so I found myself singing to the Lord. I like to do that. I'll take one of the songs. If it's a Thursday and I'm here studying late in the evening and I'm tired, I'll take a break from my study and I'll come out to the piano. And one of my favorite songs to sing to the Lord on a Thursday night when I'm studying is "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." That's a great song that you can pray, sing and pray. Now, that was not the song I was singing on Tuesday. Now, I'm going to sing this song, just a little bit of it. I don't want you to sing with me. It's a temptation. I want you to listen as I sing. So I'm praying. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Thee. How I've proved Thee o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Now, bear in mind, I'm traveling in my car, and I'm thinking about this missionary that I'm going to sit down with in just a little bit and try to encourage him, a young guy, to not give up, to stay in there, to stay in the battle, not to get frustrated, not throw in the towel. And I'm thinking how privileged we are to learn, to walk, to trust the Lord, to walk in grace. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. And I have that confidence, but do you? And in that prayer time was birthed. I was going in a total different direction for this morning, but I just thought as I was driving, just as I was coming into Warrenton, I thought, man, that'd be a great Sunday morning topic for us to learn to trust Him. Do you trust Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I know Christ. I've embraced salvation. There's been a time when I've been guilty before God, and I've come and I've asked the Lord to recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Yes, 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 I've done that. But there's more, as this missionary testified, there's more to trust than just saying, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. Again, I have been blessed to be a part of a family that have learned to trust the Lord. And if you think as you get older that it is, and you have a better job, and you have more money, and you've paid off your house, maybe, and your kids are grown. If you think as you get older that you are not going to need to learn to trust, then you haven't talked to anybody who's old. Because older people will tell you, as you get older, it is important to trust. It is important to trust. Every once in a while, somebody say, Pastor, you worry about the future? I don't, because I have come with Ruth to learn to trust. Verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work. I believe he does. Boaz believed he did. Ruth is going to learn that. And a full reward be given thee. I believe the Lord does that. From the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust for salvation, for her day-to-day bread, and that she is here working in the field for the future. Are you worried about retirement? I'm not worried about retirement. Are you worried about cancer? I'm not worried about cancer. God's going to give me the strength every day for every trial and every battle. He's going to do that. I have come to trust Him, enabling me to sing. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. What a great chorus. So when we sing the hymns, you should open up the hymn books. There are lots of songs that we're going to sing about trust, trusting Jesus. That is a great Bible concept. When you're driving down the road, you can sing to the Lord in prayer. And what a great thing that is. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Thee, how I proved Thee o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace, God's grace, to trust Him more. Trust is a Bible concept, trusting in the Lord. Mentioned the word trust 134 times in Scripture. Trusted, listed 29 times. Trusting, listed one time in Psalm 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. But Ruth, a brand new believer, has come to trust in His name for salvation. And Boaz is going to help her understand that God is going to take care of her. God is going to take care of her in His field. God is going to use Boaz to provide for her. Ruth starts gleaning, and Boaz goes up to the reapers in the field and says, hey, when Ruth is behind you, you drop a few handfuls on purpose. So Ruth comes home. She got this big... Normally, the poor people, they would get enough for the meal. Ruth had enough for a week. And Naomi looks at that and says, where have you been? Like, what bank have you robbed that you've come back with this much food? And she said, well, I was in Boaz's field. She said, don't you leave there. And that's a good place to be. This doesn't happen to poor people, let me tell you. You're in a good place. God is taking care of you. And God is taking care of her through the heart of Boaz. We're not going to read all 134 passages this morning. Aren't you thankful for that? We only have 20 minutes. But we are. I'm going to read you a number of the passages on trust from the book of Psalms. The book of songs, right? Psalm 2, verse 12, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Certainly for salvation, yes. Psalm 7, 1, O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. This is the King David. This is a man after God's own heart. I chose the Psalms because David and the Psalms of David, David, a man after God's own heart, what caused him to do that? Because David trusted in God. David's leadership style was to trust in God. When Saul was hunting David down to kill him, David trusted that God was going to take care of him. And the odds were on Saul's side that Saul was going to be victorious because Saul was the federal government. He had amassed all the resources of the federal government to hunt down his political enemy, or so he thought, a political enemy, that being David. But God is more powerful than your political enemies. And David recognized that. Later in life, as David got older, and his grown son Absalom is going to try to kill him and take over the throne, David did not lose his trust. He said, "The Lord brought me here. The Lord preserved me under Saul. The Lord will preserve, if the Lord wants, he will preserve me under the Absalom. And if the Lord doesn't want to do that, I trust the Lord to move me out of the way." Psalm 11, verse 1, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee to the mountain?" That was at a time, we talked about this just a few weeks ago on Wednesday evening in Psalm 11, when David was being hunted by, was being threatened. David had not fled yet. But it was quite evident in the castle that he was not, the king was not his fan. The king had ill intent towards him. The king was going to destroy him. But David was an employee. And he said in Psalm 11, because his friends were saying, "Dave, man, Dave, you better get out of here. You better flee to the mountain." And David understood at that point in his life, and he hadn't been expelled, he hadn't been fired. He was still an employee, and to do that would be to be AWOL, absent without leave. And he just refused to do it. How can you say to my soul, flee to the mountain where you'll be safe? I trust God. And David trusted God. Psalm 16, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." Psalm 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom will I trust? My buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower." Psalm 18, verse 30, "As for God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to those that put their trust in him." Psalm 20, verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Psalm 25, verse 2, "O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed." Psalm 31, verse 6, "I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord." Psalm 31, verse 6, "I have hated them." Psalm 34, verse 22, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Psalm 34, one of the first passages of Scripture we memorized some 30 years ago. Psalm 37, verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Psalm 37, 40, "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them." Why? Because they trust in him. Psalm 40, verse 4, "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust." Psalm 52, verse 8, "I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." Psalm 56, 3, "What time I am afraid," and there will be times, "I will trust in thee." Psalm 56, 11, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." Psalm 71, verse 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." And how blessed you are, Tom and Colleen, to be in your youth and giving attention to the Word of God. David started there. Don't end there. Keep on going. Psalm 91, verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." Psalm 115, 11, "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, he is their help and shield." Psalm 118, verse 8, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Psalm 143, verse 8, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." Ruth is a delightful Old Testament historical narrative of the life of Ruth and Boaz, a life of sin and folly of Elimelech and Naomi, of God's judgment, but also of God's grace for those that put their trust in Him. When Naomi went back to Bethlehem, she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for I am bitter." But even in her bitterness, God blessed her. Of God's provision, Ruth is a reminder that God will drop some things in front of you on purpose just because He loves you. Trust Him. Can you sing, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Thee"? Can you sing with Ruth, "How I've proved Thee"? Over and over again. "Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more." I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Trust. The meaning of trust in Webster's 1828 is confidence, reliance, resting the mind on the integrity, the veracity, the justice, the friendship of God. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, "He that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Means to put your confidence in. I am confident in the Lord. I am not confident in Fairfax County government. I am not confident in the federal government. When it comes to people, you will hear me say, "Well, Pastor, do you think that person is going to do what they said?" My response is typically, and I'll smile when I say it, "I am cautiously optimistic and hopeful that maybe they'll follow through. But I put my trust in God because He absolutely is faithful every single time." Don't put your trust in the preacher. Put your trust in God. Don't put your confidence in the preacher. Put your confidence, your trust in God. To place confidence in. Confidence in for the present because of God's faithfulness to you in the past, which gives you confidence for the future. God's preservation today, we can have confidence that God is going to take care of us today. Trust Him because God has a perfect track record in the past of taking care of people like Ruth. That should also give us a confidence in the future. Now, young people typically don't have that confidence. That as you grow in grace to trust Him, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Young people don't have that. And so they're worried. They're worried about the future. They're worried about the economy. They're worried about the government. They're worried, worry, 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 worry. Fret, 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 fret. And you're not supposed to fret. You're not supposed to worry. Consider the lilies, Christ said in Matthew. They toil not, neither they spin, but their heavenly Father takes care of them. The sparrows, God takes care of them. And God will take care of you because aren't you not better than many sparrows? And you are. And you are. Some people trust in their stock portfolio. I am not against the stock market, but I'll just remind you that in October 1929, there was a Wall Street crash. It is also known as the Great Crash. There was a sharp decline. The confidence in the banking industry, they should have their trust in the Lord, the confidence in the banking industry eroded, which led to the Great Depression. What was that followed by? The Great Depression was followed by the Roaring Twenties. Nothing could go wrong. Everything was going right until everything went wrong. Banks closed, savings evaporated and lost forever. Property lost. My paternal grandfather's farm was lost. My grandfather forever refused to trust the banking industry. Now that was a little short-sighted because he ended up renting the farm that he had lost for the rest of his life, and never an owner ever, never his. He rented it till he took his last breath. What had he done? He had lost confidence, lost trust. But God is worthy of our trust. Some people trust in their job security. This young lady, Jessie Teverin, she's 29-year-old. She was a human resources executive out in Washington State. And she got a little ticked at her boss at the politics of the office. She was making a cool, let me get the figure right, $250,000 a year. You know, I think I could endure a little trouble from the boss if he was paying me $250,000 a year. But no, not her. She quit her job and said, you know, I'll get another one. But she's been in the news just recently because it's been a year now, and she hasn't been able to find another $250,000 job. Go figure. And she said, I wish I could go back and shake myself, quote, but it's too late, too late. Some trust in their military might. You do not have to search long in military history before you find out that trusting in the military, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. History is filled with military disasters, poor planning, underestimation of the enemy, logistical failures that led to catastrophic defeats. It is littered in history. But you know what? It has no basis in history. The failure of God. God does not have one failure. Not one. Not one. He can absolutely be trusted. The stocks are going to fail. Oh, they are. Say, Pastor, the stock market is doing great. The stock market could crash on any given day. Your hope better not be in the stock market. In the military. Some trust in their strength and health. They might say, I am young. I have not a problem in the world. Oh, let me tell you, I had a friend in Arlington. She was young. She went to chiropractor. Chiropractor broke her neck. She is paralyzed from the nose down. She could not talk. She could only blink her eyes. She blinked her eyes to the alphabet. I would go to her house and minister. When she passed away as a young lady, when she went to the hospital for hospital stays, because it was just a sad, sad state of affairs. Every day is a gift. I'll tell you what, the medical community will fail you. God will never fail you. You need to trust in the medical community? You better trust in the Lord. He has a good, perfect track record. Some trust in their intellect, to whom I say, have you been to the Alzheimer's ward recently? I go to the Alzheimer's ward typically on a monthly basis. There's a fellow there, he is unsaved. He is a CEO of a major technology company. He's in the Alzheimer's wing. I'm sure at one point he would have said, I have my intellect, I'll trust in that. Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament narrative in the book of Daniel trusted in his great might until he went into the Alzheimer's ward for 7 years. And God taught him some valuable lessons about trusting in intellect. Some trust in false gods. They're going to trust in their works for their salvation, their baptism for their salvation, their church membership. That is not going to end well. Isaiah reminds us in Isaiah 42, verse 17, they shall be turned back, they shall be greatly shamed, that trust in graven images, that say to the molten image, you are our gods. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but observest not, opening the ears, but hearing not. And some trust in government. 2 Kings chapter 18 reminds us, Now behold, thou that trustest upon the staff of this brood reed, even Egypt. Who is Egypt? Powerful nation on the face of the earth. But what happened to Egypt? Pharaoh had a horrible blunder. He trusted in government and military. And when God opened the waters for the children of Israel, because God never has failure, and God can absolutely be trusted, and the children of Israel walked through those walls of water, Pharaoh misjudged his military might and his government importance and went down into the waters, and God released them. I'm going to choose to trust in the Lord. Samuel testifies in 2 Samuel 22, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. In the second letter that Samuel wrote, second book, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Job, the oldest written book in the Old Testament, Job had trust in the Lord. How great was Job's trust? He didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have the Old Testament. His was the first book that was penned to writing, but he had a trust in the Lord. And Job said in the 13th chapter, the 15th verse, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The wisdom of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Choose to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Isaiah had a trust in the Lord. Isaiah 26, 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 31, verse 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Nahum, the minor prophets, in the first chapter, the 7th verse, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that put their trust in him. So why? Why you go through the Bible and say, why should we tithe and why should we trust? Why the sacrifices? Why obedience? Because it shows our dependency. Why should I pray before I get in my car and drive down the road? Because it shows that we trust. Trust in the Lord. I'm not going to trust in my portfolio. I'm not going to trust in my job security. I'm not going to trust. I'm thankful for Mrs. Bishop, but my trust is in the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee. How I've proved thee o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that we'd be a people of trust. We live in a time of uncertainty. But truthfully, every time in history has its moments of uncertainty. But you have never had a moment of uncertainty. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you'd say, Pastor, I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have never come to put my faith and trust in him. Preacher, pray for me. Slip your hand up, hold it up for a second. Let me pray for you this morning. I would be delighted at some point sit down with God's Word and show you Jesus Christ, high and lifted up for salvation. Question number two. Christian friend, do you need to increase that trust over grace? To trust him more, you want the preacher to pray for you for God's grace, to trust him more, and I will pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you for those that are struggling. They do not know the blessings of your salvation. They are like Ruth before she came to trust you in the land of Moab, living a life that is not necessarily a bad life, but it is a life devoid of your salvation. And I pray that you would bring and convict to a saving knowledge of your salvation. And Father, for Christians who just need to learn to trust in you, I pray that you'd increase their faith, that their prayer would be my song, "Oh, for grace to trust you more." Help them to do that. Let's stand to our feet. The piano is playing. The altar is open.